each of you pray as I pray. Father, Lord, speak to us, I pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, your people need to hear from you. Let us hear from heaven, I pray today, Lord. Let what you say stir us, O God, and set our hearts aflame for you. Lord, I pray that the anointing will come in such a way that we cannot resist, Lord, yielding to you and being energized by your purpose and your will. God, I pray that every mind will receive the seed tonight. And I pray that the seed will take root and will bear fruit, O God, in our lives. Oh, Lord, I yield myself to you, Lord, for without you I can do nothing, Father. But with you I can do all things. Hallelujah. Lord, I praise you now for your mighty word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn to Matthew 26 and verse 56. Praise the Lord. It says, but all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Here we find Jesus. Here we find the Master. Here we find Jesus who had lived his life upon the face of the earth in a way that the world had never seen before. Here we find Jesus who had healed the blind eyes, ministered to the sick, healed the brokenhearted, performed all types of miracles before the very eyes of the disciples, had brought the disciples from a world of darkness into a world of light, had wept with them, had ministered to them. Can you imagine what it must have been like to walk with Jesus, the Son of the living God? Can you imagine that? I can imagine the things that are not even written in the Word. It says in John that if all that was written that Jesus had done, that the world could not even contain the books. The times that he took the disciples' hand and spoke to their heart and gave them encouragement at times they felt like giving up. And here we find at a crucial time in Christ's life that all the disciples forsook their Lord. Can you imagine that? Sometimes we overlook this and think that, oh, Christ was something supernatural. It wouldn't affect him like it affects us. But let me tell you something. It tells us in Philippians that he laid down. He emptied himself. That on this earth he felt as you and I would feel. He hurt like you and I would hurt. And I believe that my heart would be broken if those who I love the most would forsake me at my darkest hour. How about you? And I find here a sad occasion in the life of Jesus. But I would say unto you that God is no stranger to being forsaken by man. God is no stranger with people turning their backs on God for many different reasons. God is no stranger of those who he loves the most turning their back on God or on his work, upon the ministry that he has given them because of many different things that come about. When we read the scriptures, we find from the very beginning God being forsaken by his children. Adam walked in the Garden of Eden with God Almighty. Adam was created by the very hand of God, both body, spirit, and soul. The breath of life filled him. No one since that time can say that God had even created their body. For now we inherit our bodies from our parents. The genes and chromosomes come together and we are determined by our parents. And our spirit is formed by God Almighty in the womb. But Adam was actually created by the very hand of God. Yet Adam turned aside from God, forsook the Father in the midst of a universal war with Satan. Why? Because of a woman. Because of a woman, Adam stumbled. God laid more responsibility upon Adam than he did the woman. Because Adam was supposed to be the leader. But something got in his way. And we find ourselves faced with people such as Samson, that God gave great power to deliver Israel. But we find Samson again turning aside from God because something got in his way. His desires, his lust got in his way. And we find the great man Samson forsaking God and forsaking his ministry and forsaking God's called people. God forbid. In the scriptures we find the Solomons, the Davids, a David, a man after God's own heart, who God gave power to wrestle that bear and destroy that lion and to face Goliath on the field where no man would face. David knew God. But David let something get in his way of his ministry. Amen. As we turn in the scriptures, let's turn to Ecclesiastes. Let's look at another great man that knew God. Here in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 1, we find Solomon. Solomon was given the privilege of building the great temple for the Father. Solomon was given more wisdom and more wealth than any man had ever experienced by the Father. Solomon was close to God. He could think in such a way that brought him so close to God. I don't know if any man has ever been able to be that close to God in their mind, because he could understand God in a way that others couldn't, because he had such tremendous wisdom. God had done so much in his life. But here we find the words of Solomon. I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure. Now pleasure started getting in his way. And behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doth it? I said in my heart to give myself to wine. Here he's turning to wine. Yet acquainted my heart with wisdom, and tried to lay hold on all folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heavens all the days of their life. He's saying, here I decided to do everything. I decided to find out what was going on out there with other people. What's everyone enjoying here? He decided to find out. I made me great works. I built me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water. How many would like to have a swimming pool in your home? You know, I wouldn't mind having one. But he's saying here, he turned to these things. They got in his way to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and I had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasures of the kings of the provinces. I gave me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men, musical instruments in all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom still remaineth with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked upon all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity, emptiness, and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Here we find a great man of God. Here we find a person real close to God that let things and people and situations get in his way, desires. And we find another man that backslid and forsook God and took a whole nation and generations into slavery because he could not be trusted by God. What will cause you to forsake your God? Today I want to ask you that question. God deserves the best. God deserves someone that he can trust. Someone that he can be proud of. God deserves someone who will say that nothing will separate me from my God. If it be woman, if it be man, if it be pleasure, if it be desires, if it be anything under the sun, nothing will separate me from my God. But not only from your God, but from the ministry that God has called you to. From whatever the works that God has called you to do. God is looking for people who will say, I will give all to win him. Every one of us has got something in our life that has a tendency to blur our vision of the Almighty God. To take our eyes off Jesus Christ. That cause us to compromise the very thing that we know God has called us to do. And we hear the preachers preach. We hear the singers sing. But yet our hearts still are wooed away from God by people and things and circumstances. I tonight want to motivate you. God wants to stimulate you. God wants to touch your heart tonight and get a sense of dedication and commitment unto him to the point that you'll stop letting petty things get in your way. That you get to a point that you'll sincerely lay your life before the Lord and say, God, nothing will rob one moment of the time that I should give unto thee. Nothing will separate me from the ministry that you've called me to serve in. No one, no circumstance, nothing under the sun, Father, will cause me to bring shame and disappointment unto you, my Father, and to the Christ that gave his life for me. Today, the churches are filled with people who have been wooed away. People who have sacrificed the most precious thing in the universe. For what? For what? What's so important in this life that would keep you from serving the everlasting Father? What's so important in this life that would cause you to give up one moment that God has claimed as his? What's so important in this life that caused you to give up one talent that God has given you as a faithful steward? What? Houses that can be burnt to the ground, that can decay and be corrupted? People who could die and be out of your life tomorrow that may not even go to the place that you hope to live forever? People who could turn and stab you in the back? Money? What is it? What is it that you will let separate you from the one that gave you life? Tonight, I pray that in your hearts that you will feel God speak to you in a way that I cannot even speak to you in words of your understanding. I pray tonight it won't even be the words that I'm speaking that will touch the innermost part of your spirit. I pray that God will speak to you in a way tonight that no man can speak. That you'll feel within you a determination and a commitment. That, Lord, you can count on me. If you give me the strength, if you just give me the way, I'll lay my life down, Father. I'll live my life for you. I'll forsake all for you. Amen. You say, yeah, but it's difficult. Yeah, but I have such struggles within. I have such mental battles. I have such desires. I have such things that seem so important to me. Would you please open your spiritual eyes and view it just for a moment to the eyes of God Almighty. Stop looking on things with such temporal, such carnal eyes. We, more than ever before, need people who will not let anything get in their way. What gives you a bad day? What gives you a good day? What causes you to be up? What causes you to be down? Think about it. What tomorrow can cause you to be unbecoming to the Lord God Almighty? What can cause you tomorrow to cause that light within not to flow? What can cause you tomorrow to curse your God? What can cause you tomorrow to serve Satan in your deeds? What can cause you to have anger kindled within your heart tomorrow so that love can't flow? Whatever it is in your life, that's your God. Whatever pulls your strings of life is your God. If it be your car, if it be a romance, if it be a parent or a child or a job or whatever it may, is that God worthy of your life? Can that God give you eternal life? Can that God fulfill your life on this earth? No. There's only one God that can give what we need to be fulfilled in this life. There's only one God that we can count on. That's the God Almighty. Amen. And His Son, Jesus Christ. This world has seen people who will serve God. This world has not been without its heroes. Don't you think that no one's ever done it? Because they have. John the Baptist gave his head for the Lord. John the Baptist gave his life. Jesus Christ himself in the flesh was willing to forsake everything. He let nothing get in his way. Not his mother, not his brothers, not any females who might try to blur his vision, not his friends, not his disciples, not his health. Jesus Christ would let nothing rob him of his moment of fulfilling God's will for his life. The very thing that will cause you to change your attitude, the very thing that will cause you to change your attitude will be the very thing that will rob you of your salvation, that will rob you of your position in Lord, that will rob you from your ministry. Let's turn to Daniel 10 and 21. I think this is one of my most famous heroes of the Bible. Daniel 10, 21. In John 10, 21, we read, "But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince." If you want to read this whole chapter, you will find that Gabriel was sent to answer the prayer of Daniel. But he was met by such evil forces that he had a call from help from heaven. A great war was taking place in the heavenlies. And it says here, throughout all the universe, only one would stand and fight for God Almighty in this against these supernatural beings. Michael the Prince, Michael the Archangel. Michael was a real hero. Michael was a real hero. He stood when no one else would stand, and he fought. Tonight, is there any heroes in the house? Today, is there any heroes? Is there any women today that will determine themselves to serve the Lord and not let anything get in the way? If it be a teaching in our school, are you going to let something bend your image, your Christ-like image? What is so important in that school that you'd allow it to mar the very image of Christ that's been stamped in your soul? If it be the principal, is there anything, any person, that would keep you from being accountable to God, to worship Him in your life by your service? Is there anything at all in your lives that you would allow to keep you from being another Michael, from being another Paul, being another John the Baptist? That's what God is calling for in this age. There's no room for spiritual wimps in this age. They're going to be spewed out, trampled under. Delusions will come and they'll be deceived. They're going to fall on the wayside. They're going to die of diseases. They're going to be locked away with mental problems and emotional breakdowns. They're going to be lost in the seas of humanity. But there's going to be some that's going to stand up and be counted in the face of anything that can come against them. Not only to serve God, but to serve Him where He wants you to. Some people say, well, I don't have to serve Him here. I don't have to do this. I don't have to do that. Listen, can you say you would not follow any word that the Lord and the Master might speak? God is looking for people who will take every word that God speaks and make it a reality in their life. Amen. And I want you to ask yourself today, are you willing to be that person? Let's bow our heads. Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit now will speak where my words cannot enter. I pray that Your Holy Spirit will penetrate, Lord, the walls of our hearts today where my words cannot penetrate. Father, I pray that You will reveal to every mind here today Your Son. Give them a vision, Lord, of what Your expectations are for their lives. Lord, I pray that You'll kindle a fire in our hearts today that will cause us, Father, to serve You with such zeal that the world has never beheld. Let us, Father, stand for You in the face of all adversary. Every adversary that would come against us, Lord, I pray that we will be able to stand. Every distraction, Lord, we'll be able to walk beyond. Lord, I pray that we'll be a people that will bring glory to Your name. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand to our feet. Praise the Lord.